Our message this morning, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Welcome to each one present. It is a special remembering service, especially for the members of the Ridgeview congregation, but we welcome visitors as well to learn from the story of Jesus that we have this morning. Brother James Allgaier introduced my sermon very well this morning with his verses in John. The title of my message this morning is Jesus' Voluntary Sacrifice. Jesus' voluntary sacrifice. I've chosen to read a rather lengthy text this morning, covering the suffering of Jesus from beginning to end. Sometimes we pick out pieces of this story. We often do that in the communion service, and that's very appropriate. But this morning I've chosen to think about it in its entirety. Sometimes there's new truths we can gain when we see the whole picture and how things happened and in what order. There's many things that we could focus on in the Jesus suffering and death. But I'd like to focus this morning on his voluntary sacrifice. As we go through this, look for proofs that Jesus voluntarily gave his life. Begin reading at Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Note there that Jesus knew that it was the feast of the Passover. He was reminding his disciples that it was the feast of the Passover. But he added something new. He said, the Son of Man is betrayed. Jesus knew that his hour was come. Jesus could have left. Verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto him, woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. A promise that after he died, where he would meet them. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. This scene in the garden, I think, is also proof of Jesus giving his life freely. He prayed to his Father that he was facing death. He knew he was facing death, and he prayed to his Father that the cup could be removed somehow. There would be another way, but not my will, but thine be done. His disciples were unable to stay awake. It was nighttime. They were tired. But Jesus was facing. He knew what was around the corner. He knew what he was facing. There was no sleep with him. There was sorrow. There was grief, because he knew he needed to give his life. Verse 47, and while he yet spake, Lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. In the Gospel of John chapter 18, I'll come right back to Matthew 26 in a moment, but if you want to, you can look at John 18, the parallel account of them coming to Jesus. John has a few details added. John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So John says that was their response. When Jesus said, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Now, what would you have done if you were one of those soldiers and you were ready to perform your duties and Jesus said, I am he, and you went backwards without trying and fell on the ground? I'm not sure what kept them there. Great hatred for truth, perhaps. But the fact that they fell backward and fell to the ground indicates Jesus' great power. If Jesus had the power to do that, Jesus had the power to keep them away. And he could have kept them away. It was his choice to let them come and take him. Very different than any other capture or arrest that has ever taken place in our old world. People are captured and arrested for evil things by force, but the force that man had here was not enough to conquer Jesus. Back to Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 51, where we left off. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's ear and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Jesus says, I don't need your sword. I don't need any of your power. Put it away. I have 12 legions of angels at my disposal. A legion in Bible times varied from different times of history in different parts of the country. According to the research that I did, it would have been somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 men in a legion. So if you take the conservative number, 3,000, and you take 12 legions, that means Jesus said, I have 36,000 angels that I can just speak the word and they'll come. I don't need your sword. So if those angels were available at Jesus' call, the fact that he did not call them proves that Jesus freely offered his life. Men did not take it from him. He freely offered it. Continuing at verse 55. And in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Then we have the story of Peter, which you know well, and his denial of Jesus. It's very clear that Peter was afraid. He was afraid. And any human being in his position without the help of God would have been afraid, because his master had suddenly been taken. And his master was not acting as normal. Peter saw that his master's life was at stake. And he was afraid his own was if he identified with his master, and so he denied. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for me to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." Very sad story. The story of Judas, who ended up taking his own life because of what he had done and because of the fact that he couldn't forgive himself, but also because it had not turned out as he had planned, I'm sure. Judas proves to us that Jesus had the power to avoid the cross, because that's what Judas thought he was going to do. Very clearly, Judas, the man walking beside him, believed that Jesus had the power to avoid the cross. He had escaped many times before. The Jewish people, Judas believed that. And when he saw that it wasn't true, he took his life. Verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? And that's a good question. What evil had he done? He hadn't done any evil. He was a man who walked and talked upon this earth, healed the sick, healed the lepers, taught the children. And the governor said, What evil hath he done? But they who he had helped cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. If there was ever a prime time for Jesus to, humanly speaking, without understanding all of the story, if there was ever a time for him to make his mark in the world, it was then. Just suppose Jesus would have. He could have. The nails that held him to the cross were very weak compared to his angels and his power. He could have come down. And if he would have come down, the Jews said, "We'll believe you if you do. We'll believe that you really are the Son of God." But Jesus didn't come down. Verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." 3 hours in the daytime turned to darkness. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus, it says, yielded up the ghost. We're not very familiar with those terms. A ghost in the English language today does not have a very good connotation. I doubt that there's any of you children who would really like to meet a ghost at night. That's what we often think about with that word. I believe in our language today we could say Jesus dismissed his spirit. Jesus dismissed his spirit. He gave up the ghost. And I believe that Jesus dismissed it, like was already mentioned, before the crucifixion killed him. He dismissed it. The verses that Brother James read in John chapter 10 said that Jesus said before this that I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. That's a power that none of you and I have this morning. No man has ever had since then, but Jesus had that power. And there on the cross, he laid his life down. The act of dying was in his own power. And yet it was not a criminal act as it was for Judas, who went out and hung himself. Very, very different. But he had the power. Jesus has the power. No man can take my life from me. I have the power. Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That was the veil that had been put in place in the tabernacle. Way back in the book of Exodus, directions were given for that. They were in the tabernacle for years, and then when the temple was built, that veil was put there, and it was the veil between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. It was the veil that separated the Holy of Holies away from the holy place, their worship place, where God was, where the mercy seat was between the cherubims. That veil was rent from top to bottom. When Jesus cried, his final cry, that veil was rent. And the earth did quake. There was an earthquake. And the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now the happenings of those three verses, or four, are very dramatic. And call for a response, which we have in verse 54. Now, when the centurion, he's the Roman man, I believe, in the head position of performing the crucifixion. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. It was unmistakable. Jesus had voluntarily given his life. And Jesus was the Son of God. Verse 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Jesus, the voluntary sacrifice. Certainly worth our time to meditate upon. That it was voluntary, that man was not strong enough to overpower God and his Son. Jesus allowed it, and so therefore he did it voluntarily. And he did that voluntarily for all of mankind, for every soul that is under the sound of my voice this morning. Jesus gave that sacrifice voluntarily for you. For the sin problems in your and my life. And he brought us cleansing. What will you and I sacrifice for Jesus? In closing, I'd like to sing the song, "They Bound the Hands of Jesus."
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he lay. They left him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He heard of the altars and thefts and angels to destroy the world and set him free. He heard of all.
to the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took aloft, and when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done.